Well, I'm here just to remind society we don't, we mustn't forget what's going on there in Syria. Very easy to watch TV like 2 minutes and then go to work or to school and do your normal life, and what is going on in the news, what they show on the news during that 2 minutes, doesn't represent 1% of what's going on, really what's going on.
Okay, my name is Malik Ashaib. I'm from Syria originally. My family left Syria in the 80s basically after Hama massacre, and we're in Jordan since then, and I moved to Ireland 2 years ago. Basically, the way the regime is handling this is pushing people to their primal instinct, and they're basically hungering people. They want them. The whole point is to get people to the point where they say, okay, we're fine with the regime as long as we can eat. That's what they want people to say, that human life and human nature is just about eating, drinking, and that's it. And forget all of your other rights, all your freedom, all that stuff. As long as you can eat, you should be happy. And this is the whole point of the Assad regime and the way they're handling and they're dealing with the situation. Especially with the cover they get from Russia and, you know, the vetoes they're always getting, you know, in support for the Assad regime. But the last story we heard was about Homs and what was going on there and the way people got out of Homs, and basically with the help of the United Nations. And one of the guys who was handling the situation directly and dealing with the situation directly said it's more or less like what happened in Srebrenica, really. We knew that was going to happen. Everyone knew it. And the way people in Homs knew and the way they handled it, they said, we know what's going on, what's going to happen. At least we can get our families, our, you know, the old people, the kids, we can at least get them out. And then we can face our destiny, which they clearly know what is going to happen.
And how are your family coping emotionally with what's going on?
When you talk to them, they kind of act strangely. They don't say anything. They just start asking you about how are you doing, are you eating well, and all that stuff.
So maybe the emotional journey too painful at the moment.
No, no one wants to deal with this straight ahead and confront the situation directly. Basically, they want to protect themselves. They want to try and separate this emotion just a little bit, just until they have the time and they can actually deal with it and, you know, analyze it and take it in and process the whole situation.
So what kind of questions do you think we're going to have to ask ourselves, the international community, when this war is over?
Was there anything that we could have done and we didn't?
We're standing here now and it's cold and I've got my coat on and my gloves on and my shoes on. And it's Irish cold, and I'm so conscious of the level of cold in the mountains of Syria and the children who, if they're lucky, have plastic sandals in which to live in that. And it's millions of people, but each, you know, every million is a million individual women, men and children who are suffering every single day. And that's the piece that we need to hold on to and keep our awareness on. So I suppose today is about both holding the political players accountable, but also reminding people of the reality on the ground.
People are being starved, literally starved. They've literally nothing to eat in some of the besieged areas. And as we saw, you know, after Geneva 2, when the first aid went in with the Red Crescent and the UN into Homs, the regime actually bombarded the aid convoy. And the people who were who were allowed to come out, a large, significant number of them were detained. Of that, I think 200 have now been released, but at least 180 men and boys are still in detention.
This is a small group here today. Given what we know about what is going on in Syria because of social media and because of the accessibility of international communications, now, are you surprised?
No, because for 3 years it's been like this. People have stood back and allowed the Syrians to be massacred. They have allowed political confusion or political analysis or political perspectives and positions to determine their lack of action. And I personally find it unjustifiable. the regime in Syria managed to package what was happening and present it as a war on terrorism, and that pushed everybody's fear of Islamic fundamentalist buttons, and so they said no. Or Assad was perceived as being pro-Palestinian, defender of the Palestinians against Israel and standing up to the imperialist power of the US, and so people wouldn't criticise him.
Yeah, I'm old enough, we grew up in the post-war period, and the phrase never again was heard all the time. And then, of course, Bosnia, it did happen again. And now Syria, something very similar is happening again, and Rwanda, etc., etc. And we never seem to learn. Hopefully, if there's enough grassroots pressure, it'll begin to put pressure on the politicians to just try to do something effective to resolve what's going on. And beginning with getting aid into the besieged areas, because they're using food as a weapon of war, among a lot of other atrocities, and barrel bombs that are literally dropping into the middle of populated areas that are designed to inflict the maximum number of civilian casualties.